Genesis says that God decided to destroy the world. Plenty of violence, lots of indifference to God, lots of parties without God, that kind of thing. In Genesis 8 and Genesis 7, the flood comes. Genesis 8, the flood goes back down. Genesis 9, they'll start an altar, and there'll be the Noahic covenant, which will be, now you can eat animals, but not their blood, and we'll have capital punishment. And rainbows forever. Last week was Genesis 6. Only evil continually. Or Matthew 24, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. So, sounds like quite a bit of violence and also a lot of partying without any interest in God. For 120 years, God waited. Noah built the ark, 120 years. And yet, as we will read now, only Noah was righteous, which means no one listened. For 120 years, no one listened. Only Noah and his family, the rest of them didn't care. Now we're at Genesis 7, where the first command will be to enter the ark. We'll look at Genesis 7, 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you, which I assume means the entire family, or as the southerners say, you all. You all alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female. Of animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing I have made. Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Notice in verse 1 that God is watching of all of the people in the pre-flood civilization. Only Noah and his family were righteous, but application for now, God is watching. Proverbs 15:3, he beholds the evil and the good, but today, given this verse, we'd like to stress the good. Very often we say he watches the evil, but he watches the good. He knows who is doing right. Noah was among them. Hopefully he looks at us and sees the same thing. A related text that I like very well is 2 Chronicles 69. The eyes of the Lord moveth to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart are his. He keeps track of all the good. Salvation is by faith alone, trusting in Jesus. Level of rewards is by works. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says God keeps track of those that give cold water in his name. In Hebrews chapter 6, he's not going to forget our works of righteousness. Saved by faith, rewarded by works. This pre-flood world was a very advanced in terms of technology and bad in terms of morality. It seems that some will go backwards. And later on it says in Job 30, after the flood, some moved into caves. A replica of the Ark in Kentucky, we know the best. There's another replica of the Ark in the Netherlands. I might show a clip of that next week. That one floats. We won't take the time to do that this week, but there are at least two of them. It means box. It's Egyptian, showing the author Moses had an Egyptian background. It's not meant to move fast. It's meant so it doesn't capsize. On the ark, 7 pairs of clean animals. That would be animals that were suitable for sacrifice, also suitable for the eating in the Old Testament dietary laws, to keep kinds of each kind alive. Some debate the definition of Bible kinds, and it might be a little bit more than species, but we'll let the creation scientists work on that. But the flood shows death. So do the fossils show death. And we will be looking at some fossil research later, but let's do the text of the Genesis 7 first and then get back to some of the science of creation. They came to the ark, probably God-induced migration. After the rain started, 40 days and 40 nights. Let's keep reading at verse 6. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of the clean animals, and animals are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, they went into the ark by Noah, by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, notice how specific it is, on the same day all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. Then rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Water came from below as well as from the sky. Long ages in the pre-flood world. 600 years it gives Noah's lifespan. Lifespans will decrease after the flood. Something changed after the flood and lifespans decrease. It went down to Moses' time of 120. By the time of Psalm 90, we're down to 70 or 80 years. I would say medicine is improving and the human race is getting worse. That's kind of the Bible trend. But if you think about it, if you go to a non-technological place, the lifespans are very, very low. Shocking in the visit to Uganda. I mean, people in their late 30s were considered old and falling apart. So medicine is improving. But the human race is not improving. Now let's read at verse 13. The water keeps going up. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him, entered the ark. They and every beast after the kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. So we have the Lord closing the door. Verse 17, the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. We've already mentioned the Noah's three sons in Genesis 5, and mentioned again here in Genesis 7, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We might do the table of nations when we get to Genesis chapter 10 and save that for another time. But Shem, progenitor of what we call the Semites, Arabs, Arameans, Israelites. Ham, it would be Ethiopia and Egyptians, as he is the father of Mitzrayim. That's what they call Egypt in their language even now. Japheth would be the Europeans, and then we might look at that table of nations later. This is Noah and three daughters-in-law. Humans, male and female, were made in the image of God. The reference here to the animals, no reference to being made in the image of God. So it would say humans are a great distinction over the animals. We're made in the image of God. They are not. And yet animals might be a little higher than people commonly think. It does talk about they all have the breath of life. So when we talk about breath of life, they all have the breath of life. That's verse 15 of Genesis 7 that we have read. It's coming again in verse 22 that we'll read in a moment. The strange reference is also in Revelation 16, where it says, every soul in the water perished in the future tribulation, or will perish, and that's a reference to marine life, fish and so forth, and have soul. Verse 19, waters moved above all the high mountains. So maybe the phrase worldwide flood is not direct, but it's pretty close because it's higher than all the mountains. And every living thing on land that was not on the ark perished. So worldwide flood. Now we read the close of Genesis 7, 4, and it will repeat some of what was already said. Verse 20, the water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swimming thing that swims upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left, together with those who were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Cubit, again, is from elbow to the top of your finger. On the various ancient civilizations used cubits that would range an inch or two, you know, 17 or 18 inches, but people have different lengths of arms. So here the flood was above the highest mountains between 22 and 25 feet, somewhere in there. All life outside the ark, all land life outside the ark perished. So it was worldwide. Every once in a while in the creation science literature, one reads of finding tracks, animal tracks, that are all going the same direction. Those are usually interpreted as animals in packs trying to escape flood water. Again, verse 22, all animals have the breath of life. They're not made in the image of God, so they're not quite top tier, but they're not the lowest either. They do have the breath of life. Science a lot in Genesis 1 and 2, and in some ways we are past creation science, and yet this relates to it. Because a worldwide flood would explain death and rapid geological layers, and if you shorten the time, then evolution has one more point against it. Without that, even, it's still impossible. Life does not start itself. Life comes from pre-existing life. A brick isn't going to have life. The railings that we enter out here into the building, they're not going to have life. They're not going to have babies. Life must come from pre-existing life. It has always been observed so. No spontaneous generation. Next, mutations are really always neutral or bad. They hardly ever are good, and even if they are, they don't make anything new. Bad mechanism for evolution. It'd be like saying birth defects made everything better. A lot like that. It doesn't make sense. The missing links are still missing. You know, missing between any supposed animal ancestor and human, but the missing links are missing between all kinds of life. In a moment, we look at an article. 432 mammals have been found with dinosaurs. What about these 432 mammals? They look just like the ones now. They didn't change, or didn't change that much. The same is true for the famous living fossils, whereby there'll be a claim that this animal was extinct millions of years ago, and then they find them living. It was a fish off from Madagascar in 1938. That was a living fossil. They had said it was extinct millions of years ago, then they find living ones off the coast of Madagascar, and they look just like the bones that were there with the dinosaurs. No change. When we look at our articles in a moment, it will make reference to Carl Werner, and I've read a book or two of his. He said he went to 60 museums and looked at dinosaur exhibits and wanted to know if they would put a mammal right beside it. In those 60, there were none. Maybe Panhandle Plains is a little better, because it seems like I remember dinosaur bones and then something like a saber-toothed tiger with it and a crocodile with it. Saber-toothed tiger, mammal. So maybe that exhibit is a little more fair to have mammals with it, but 432. Now, what I would like to do now for the rest is we'll take up Genesis 8 next time, where the ark lands on Ararat, and I'd like to have you look at these notes. They should be sitting beside you. Okay. What we have here is samples of articles that if you want to read them later, you can read them later. And then I will say what point we're trying to make and then go through the articles that argue for it. Point number one, which would be the white notes, but we'll look at this batch of them first. Point number one, there are many marine ocean fossils on mountaintops. Very common, said Tim Clary. Very, very common to find marine fossils on mountaintops. The best explanation of this is that there was a worldwide flood, and that's how all these sea creatures got on top of mountains. Now, we might look at the first article there is Brian Thomas, 2011. Dinosaur fossils weren't supposed to be there, and I've tried to underline Fort McMurray in Alberta. Okay. Second in the line, there's marine reptiles mixed with land living ones. They're all mixed together, but the point I'm making now is sea creatures in Alberta. Alberta was under the water, sea creatures. Another reference there is a Morrison Formation. I think that's in Utah. And then if you'll just kind of flip the next page, there is the reference I got to 432 mammals found with the dinosaurs that end up being about the same. So I mainly put that one on there, and you can look it up if you want to. When I'm in a hurry, I mean, I prefer to read books. When I'm in a hurry, I do ICR.org. And I do ICR.org, and then I do a search, and I look at various things. And there's a sample of that one there. Now, if you'll turn the page, what we have here is a book by Tim Clary. And I have it. It might be in our library, too, but a book by Tim Clary. You're flipping the page there. I've talked with him twice, I think. I like him. He's from Michigan. How'd that happen? You still think people from Michigan have PhDs in geology, because you figured that'd be down here with the oil, but he lives in Dallas now. And I couldn't underline it in red very good, but I tried, and I tried to put some arrows on the bottom. That's the part we'll read. Let me try to read like the final five or six lines of the first few paragraphs. Because of this catastrophic activity, dinosaurs are nearly always found mixed in with marine fossils. Where's all these marine fossils? The Hell's Creek Formation in Montana contains remains of numerous tyrannosaurs and also 5 species of sharks, 15 species of fishes, 15 species of mammals, turtles, various lizards. So the point I'm trying to make is the Hell's Creek Canyon is mostly in Montana, partly in South Dakota, and has these marine fossils all over it, mixed in with the dinosaurs, but has all these marine fossils. So you have Alberta, and you have Montana, and they were under the water. And here's all these marine fossils in there. Been a while since I've been to Panhandle Plains, but last time I was there, it seemed like I remember seeing a crocodile. Crocodile right next to the dinosaur bones. And I paid much attention. Where did they find these crocodile bones? And the answer is here. So you have Canada, marine creatures over Canada. You have Montana over Montana. You have here. It comes so fast, I don't have time to do it all. This is a September 2020 Acts and Facts, and it's got a picture of a fish on it. The fish was 6 feet long. Where was it? Kansas. An extinct fossil fish, Kansas. Okay, so you have examples of marine fossils all over the place, up high. Really up high. So we can take our notes and now turn. This one is just a duplicate. More marine fossils found in Montana. It's just a duplicate of what we've already said. And if you'll turn it again, we got basically China. China and Montana. And here's Brian Thomas again. That's April 2019. Tried to underline. Where did they find these marine fossils? 480 miles up high on China from the nearest ocean. So there seem to be sea creatures up on land and up on high mountains. Basically everywhere. I remember in the reading they're in the Alps too. They're in the Appalachians, they're in the Rockies, they're in China. Okay. I do want to say before we get too long, my work on this is about limited at 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? I did not study geology. I do not want to study it. The only reason I study it is because we're doing Genesis. And so all these years, every once in a while, I get a geology book, but okay. These guys do it for a living. We'll let them do 40 years. Turn the page and we'll see a shark jaw in Kentucky, down inside a coal mine, 18 inches long. Sharks in the coal mines. What you're speaking of is massive sea creature death and all mingled. Up high, bones up high on the mountains. Now, I'd like to go in the next direction, and here I have this picture of Adam probably, or early, but that's the next one. And we go in the other direction and we say, there are land dinosaurs out in the ocean. Land dinosaur fossils out in the ocean. Then you ask the question, how do the land dinosaurs get buried out in the ocean? And the best explanation for both directions is a flood. Rapid overturning of sediment. Rapid. Now, on this picture of getting off the ark, I'd like to read the red underlined. The deepest dinosaur ever discovered was found in an oil core 1.4 miles below the base, and it's going to be in the North Sea between Norway and Greenland. And, of course, they were really surprised to find a land dinosaur out 1.4